Tonight's Big Brother Live Eviction Recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Now, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP, not Meta World Peace, MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? I'm actually kind of confused about Meta World Peace, but that's besides the point. The same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why True Car has come out with True Price. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you a true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? That's because True Car is going to show you what other people paid for the car that you want, and their certified dealers know this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. And they're not just going to quit on your business. No, they're going to try to win your business just like they should. And so when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy that just talked everybody out of quitting the podcast right before we started. Don't worry, they're still here. I'm Rob Cisterna. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited. Oh, my God. When they tell you expect the unexpected, we're like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. No, we need to expect the unexpected, especially on Manic Mondays here with who knows what's going to happen. Who knows who's going to walk off the show? So much to break down here tonight on a wild night in Celebrity Big Brother. Only 6 days to go until the finale. Who knows how it's all going to break out? I said it was Manic Monday. It's also Melissa Monday. She's fresh off the live feed update. Here is Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I feel like this is Groundhog's Day or something, because we literally just last Monday had this exact same discussion where I ended up saying, like, oh, nothing ended up mattering from this whole week because once again, we have another quit on our hands. And once again, this same quit comes from my same draft.
Yes, in fairness, so, Melissa, did Meta World Peace have an issue with the breast pump today?
I believe that was the reason why he left.
Okay, well, we'll get to that on the live feed. We'll get to that in the feed update. Okay. And then, of course, joining us, a man who potentially may even speak with Meta World Peace if he doesn't miss his wife too much. Give it up for Mike Bloom.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to get on the conference call with Meta and his entire family that he name checks during his exit interview with Julie if he wants to comply with doing the exit press. Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, Taryn used the VIP veto on himself to take himself away from this podcast and put me up. I'm surprised he didn't use it a second time, but here I am, and I'm ready to go.
Okay, so here we are. We're ready to go as well. We're taking your questions. Hashtag RHAP. We are also going to... We worked out last night, and we take your questions in the chat room as well. So just...
Are we playing the Twitter game, Rob?
Yes. All right, let's play the Twitter game. We got a phone call from somebody in Toronto, Canada. A question for Mike Bloom. Mike, what question are you going to ask Meta World Peace tomorrow?
Oh, wow. A question within a question. That's a question inception. I mean, I guess I'll have to ask him, what the hell happened? Where did this come from? How did this happen again?
I don't know.
Yeah, I am in utter disbelief. And I think there are some positive aspects that we can definitely talk about as to the circumstances that will happen. Now, the seven people that are left into the house and how it's really going to accelerate the end game that's going to take place over the next 6 days. But man, I mean... I totally agree with Melissa that there's a lot of sentiments behind last week as well, compounded on the fact that we also had this twist thrown in that also landed with a big dud, sort of fizzled out. So it's been an absolutely insane night to get to talk about, but I'm so happy I get to come on here and compartmentalize this.
Well, I know a lot of people seem upset about this, and we have talked about the whole way through that I thought Meta World Peace had a great chance to win this thing, but he ends up opting out, punches his own ticket, and forces his way out of the house. But I kind of feel like, good. You don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Leave. there are seven people that are still in the house who all want to play and want to win. And if the person who doesn't want to be there and who clearly is not playing the game wants to leave, then we're the winners here, Melissa, because I would rather see the seven people who want to be there duke it out over these last 6 days of the game.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, the only reason why I'm sad about it is because he's in my draft. But other than that, like, I'm very happy to have this outcome because, you know, I was thinking about it as it was happening because at first I was like, what the heck? When I thought Omarosa had won the veto and I was so excited and then all of a sudden it's Ross. Yeah,
that was weird. Was like, well, I mean, the camera angles were way off where it was like Omarosa, they're on the cameras on Omarosa. Omarosa is solving the puzzle. She goes in, rings her buzzer and it's like, and it's like, and then the alarms go off and it's like, Ross is the winner. Of the-
All right. I was waiting for Extreme Ways to drop, and then we get an immediate flashback into Ross's side of the puzzle. I can't wait for the widescreen edition of the veto comp. I think then we'll see him ring.
Right. I thought that Ariadna was going to be like, no, you pulled a Steve Harvey. No.
Now I have a question for Steve Harvey. Are you now a producer of Celebrity Big Brother?
I honestly thought that, you know, maybe they were going to come back after the commercial and Julie was going to be like, I'm sorry, I like called it too quick. Omarosa actually won it or something like that. But then they just kept with Ross. I mean, they didn't even pan over to show his finished puzzle. We don't even know if he finished the puzzle.
Yeah, we don't know what was going on. It was like, yeah, it was the whole thing was wacky.
We didn't get anything. Yeah.
Here's a conspiracy theory. Do we think that we didn't see this off camera so we can, you know, theorize all we like? What if Meta helped Ross build his puzzle?
Oh,
if
he knew
he's going to use the veto on himself and I'm going to go up. Let me help you move along, because as we saw, Meta was not making much progress whatsoever on that puzzle, even though he has an architectural degree and is very meticulous and cerebral in that manner. So maybe he's like, let me lend a little bit of a help to Ross so he's able to squeak out the win and get me on the block.
Who knows? But I mean, it really was a completely game altering night to have. We had so much strategy going on over the last couple of days, Melissa, and it really looked like this could have been it for the Ross, Brandy, Marissa, Ari alliance. It looked like there was almost no chance outside of maybe there would have been some chicanery with James going up and potentially getting backdoored in that way. But it looked like it was going to be the night that that alliance of four was going to ultimately get destroyed one way or another. Somehow, all four of those people are still there. This is a Omarosa's HOH ends up being used to take out Meta, who was one of her allies. I think this was a disastrous turn of events for Oni. I think that Oni is in big trouble now. She can't play the HOH. Ross, who she made her target, ends up staying in the house with all of his numbers and all of these options of these, you know, basically he still has his alliance of four intact, plus this alliance with James and Mark, which he was working on over the last couple of days. Now he's allied with everybody in the house except for Oni, who can't play in the HOH. This is a really crazy turn, Melissa.
Yeah, it's definitely totally unexpected. But I think that Omarosa, I think she handled it in the best way possible when it comes to naming a replacement nominee, because you know, this whole time she's been telling the girls, I want to work with the women. You know, that's why we have to get Ross out, but whatever she's saying about that. And so they were thinking, you know, well, she still wants to work with us. But then if she goes and she takes, if Ross saves himself and then she puts up Marissa and then Ross saves Marissa, you have Ross and Marissa really mad at you. You have Brandy and Ari thinking, okay, she doesn't want to work with the women. I don't know what's going on here. And so I think she made the best move possible under the circumstances, even though Meta was her ally. But, you know, it was very disappointing because this was shaping up to be an amazing night, an amazing eviction, an amazing afterwards. Like, it just, it was a huge buildup and it just, I totally fell flat.
Yeah. Mike, were you surprised that Omarosa went through with putting Meta up on the block? Because it was a really a move that does not help her in any way.
You say that, but there is sort of a benefit, I guess, to being the one to take the proverbial shotgun to the old Yeller behind the shed and putting him out of his misery. In that doggy is going to vote for you in the doggy heaven jury once we get to the final.
You would think so. But listen, I mean, Meta gave one the greatest interview after an eviction that anyone has ever given. But Julie Chen asked him, who are you rooting for, Meta?
Who are you rooting for to win this?
Shannon.
I love Shannon first. I love Shannon so much.
Out of everyone who's left in the game.
But he didn't even, he said Ross. He didn't even say Omarosa. I love Shannon. I love Keisha. No, we're not talking about them. Who do you?
Oh, you know, I love Paul from BB19. I'm going to vote for him.
I really thought he was going to say Omarosa, though.
Yeah. No, we're only talking about people that you go. Yes, Omarosa, you would think, who never did wrong by a Meta World Peace, that you would think he didn't mention her.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask him about that tomorrow, just because maybe one of the reasons why I hold the sentiment is when I got to talk with Keisha. Keisha was very positive about Ross. Yeah, she was very much about, like, you know, I'm so happy that Ross, you know, like, followed my commands and released me out of the game. I really appreciate him for that. And so you'd think that Meta would really, you know, be the one to honor, I guess, the person that had set him free from the confines of the Big Brother house. Maybe in the moment it didn't necessarily play, but hopefully she's a number three behind Ross and someone who is currently not in the game.
Yeah, he did not seem to have much love for Omar or for Oni, Melissa.
Also, if he loved Shannon as much as he seems to love Shannon, why didn't he try and keep her in the game? Why was he so against her?
I'm intrigued to see Shannon's reaction as well, because when I talked with Shannon talked up this whole thing about I gave Meta a Big Brother 101 lecture before leaving. He's set up to win this game.
I love Shannon. Oh,
yeah.
Instead, he just fell in love with her and then quit.
Yeah. Mike, did you think that there was a connection between that? He talked about how he wanted to get out of the house. He had 20 places that he needed to kiss his wife. And this was day 20 for Meta in Sequester.
Yeah, 20 is a magic number, I suppose. I don't know what his number was in basketball, but maybe he feels like, you know, the signs from above are saying, OK, 20 is your time to leave. You can't wait it out 6 more days. 20 is your time to go. I know it's meant to be.
Yeah. The whole thing was very interesting. Melissa, how about Ross? He gets the VIP veto, and I'm sure that somewhere Brent is ranting about Team Maslow ending up blowing it and not going with the spot.
Damn you, you!
Not going with the spotlight veto. So we get the VIP veto in play. Ross uses it once. Were you surprised that he left a Brandy up there?
Not particularly, because I think he knew that if he took Brandy off, then Marissa would be the replacement. And I think he didn't want to risk that. At least that was my thinking behind it. But, you know, I think that if they had all known that Meta was going to put himself on the block, I don't see why maybe he wouldn't try and curry some favor with Brandy by taking her off. Because at this point, I think they're a little split. And I think that could some power to give to Brandy. I don't know. I just feel like it would have helped their relationship a little bit, maybe mend some fences. But, you know, it made sense because he's closest to Marissa by far. So I don't think he wanted to risk putting Marissa on the block.
If he took Brandy off and winked at her, do you think that would have helped or hurt things?
Yeah, no winking. No,
apparently winking.
No winking. Yeah, that's bad. Where Brandy accused Marissa of having a side deal with Omarosa because she winked at her. Melissa, can you confirm, did Omarosa know about the final four that Ross, Marissa, Ari, and Brandy had before that conversation? Or, as Marissa said, you guys, I think you just told Omarosa now about the final four.
It's a great impression. I think Omarosa knew about it because I think somehow she knows. She seems to know about everything. She's very impressive. I really am a fan, and I really hope that this getting Meta out doesn't bite her in the butt.
Okay. Not going to touch that one. All right. Speaking of Marissa, I thought that Marissa had a very noble speech after we lost Meta World Peace about how she really was patting herself on the back about this one.
You guys, I just want to say to this house, that was the classiest and most awesome thing we could have done. Congratulations, done. You guys.
You guys, I really just want to say that we all deserve so much credit tonight for not putting me up on the block. And Ross, that you didn't use the veto on Brandy. And Omar Oni, you didn't put me on the block. And I think we all deserve a lot of credit for that.
You sound like a Valley Girl version of John F. Kennedy.
I don't want to feel bad.
Yeah, nothing to fear, but like shoes.
I don't want to feel bad, but you're making me.
That is so accurate. Oh my God.
Sorry, that I just immediately poked holes in your debut impression. Yes,
that's always ideal when you do a new impression and somebody says what it sounds like. That's not the person you're doing an impression of. It's always ideal.
We have nothing to fear. Okay. All right.
Okay. I'd love to just talk through some more of who's up, who's down. I know the LFC roundtable isn't until tomorrow, and you guys will check in with the stock watch then. But I do feel like that this was a really game-altering night for the house after these events. We talked about how Oni is down. I am feeling like James is down as well after this, Melissa. And I was feeling like he was in a good position potentially coming into this night.
Yeah, I agree, because I thought that when Omarosa was trying to work with him, I thought, wow, this is amazing for him. This is a great opportunity because this allows him and Omarosa and Mark and Meta to form a group and go against the other side of the house. They finally have some sort of numbers to help them. And I thought then Brandy was kind of being isolated from the group and she could join in with them. And then like all in one fell swoop, it was like he decided he didn't want to work with Omarosa. And so they started trying to make these side deals with Ross and Marissa. And then Meta goes. And so they lose another vote and an ally. And now Omarosa can't compete for HOH. It's just not great right now for them. I mean, especially considering that Brandy doesn't like him and neither does a lot of other people, really. So it ends up not being good for him, which is really unfortunate because I was really excited about his position and his potential in the game. And now I'm kind of...
Yeah. Listen, we didn't get to see a vote based on the two people that were up on the block, but do we know officially where James and Mark were coming down on? Had they officially switched to the vote with Ross, vote out Brandy side of things by the time that we were going to have a vote?
It actually seemed like Ross would be leaving.
Interesting.
As it got closer, even Marissa had kind of recognize, it seemed like she had even recognized herself, like, I'm just gonna have to lose Ross. I'm just gonna have to do it because, you know, I've got the girls right here, and if I vote against them, I'm out. And you know, and then Ari did a great job. I mean, Omarosa was talking with her, but then Ari was in the room, and Omarosa was like, well, what would your son do? What would he tell you to do? And Marissa was like, he would tell me for sure vote out Ross. What are you doing? Why are you even trying to stick with him? You need to just think for yourself. And then Ari's like, well, who do you want to disappoint, or who do you want to make proud of you or whatever? Ross or your son? And then Marissa's just like silent sitting there. And it was like, oh my God. I was very excited that she said that. And it seemed to me then that Marissa was going to go with the girls and vote Ross out, because afterwards when Ross asked her about it, he was like, what were you guys talking about? And she's like, oh, you know, just talking about things, but not about you. And so she lied to him essentially and didn't tell him that they were literally talking about voting him out. So it really seemed like there was a switch there where everyone was going to vote Ross out. I went into the episode tonight thinking that Ross was out. And then he wins veto. And then I was like, all right, who's the next person? Marissa's out, I guess. But then I was like, okay, now we're doing the whatever, the VIP veto. Marissa's will probably be taken off the block. And then all of a sudden Meta gets put on there. And, you know, once again, we have another quit situation. But it was building up to be an amazing episode.
Yeah.
Just like last week.
Well, it still is a really crazy fallout to all of this.
Still a great night. Still a great night.
Still a great night. I would still say that. So, Mike, then, in terms of who's up, who's down, Ross clearly up after tonight. Do you feel like that Marissa is down now because of this?
I mean, it depends because, I mean, results aside, we also got this scene of James going to her with this Final Four Alliance, and we should change your name to Marissa Jarrett Penoker because she totally pulls a Jonathan Penner here of like Final Four. I don't know, maybe
Bukakta. Who cares? Time for that. Get back to me. We still have 6 days.
You can stop the beat. Good morning, Baltimore. It was really, and Melissa, I know you and Taryn talked about this morning. It's just, I mean, Shannon even talked about this in my exit interview with her. Like, in Big Brother, you don't say no to deals. Because when you say no to deals, you're essentially telling people, I'm saying no to you because I have something much better set up. And so, therefore, I don't even want to play with you. And in a game where dynamics are supposed to be constantly shifting and people can fall in and out of power depending on a competition win, you never want to be in that position. So I would say even outside of the results, Marissa is not necessarily in a great position just because now James has a big red flag going off in his head of, okay, this person clearly doesn't want to work with me. If she gets nominated a couple of weeks from now or a couple of days from now at this point and comes to me, I don't think I'm going to be likely to keep her around now because she might not be in my court.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Mark a little bit because poor Mark, that he keeps trying to get involved with these things. But ultimately, this plan now, it seems like that he's just left out and not in the middle of anything at this point, Marissa.
You just call me Marissa.
Melissa.
And that's what Taryn did the other day.
I was making fun of Taryn.
Yeah, sure you were. I don't believe you for a second. Wow.
That's the best Taryn. That's a much better Taryn impression than your Marissa Taryn Winoker impression.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice Taryn impression. Yeah. I don't even remember.
We're talking about Mark. Mark, very, very.
Oh, yes.
First off, he loved Meta World Peace so much. He has to see my boy Meta World Peace. He's gone. I miss him so much already.
Yeah. Mark, I don't know what to think about him. I feel like sometimes I'm really impressed with the way I feel like he can see everything that's going on in the game. And I feel like he recognizes his position in the game, but yet when he's given an opportunity to do something about it, he just goes the wrong way. I don't know. I just feel like he recognized that he was on the outs, that he didn't really have any deals with anyone. Omarosa comes to James and him with a deal. And instead of taking that deal, he's like, I don't know. I think we need to go to Marissa and Ross, which doesn't make any sense. It's just, I was very disappointed because I was like, okay, you know what? He recognizes he's on the outside. He's purposely on the outside. He's purposely trying to stay away from all this, the drama, all the deals, all that. And now I'm not so sure it's purposeful. So You know what? Honestly, I will just be happy if he doesn't quit on Monday.
He's not going to quit. He's not going to quit. Up. He's into it.
He might quit on Monday considering it's the day after the finale. He might be able to quit by then. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Mark either because I feel like he's sitting in his car, you know, in the Indy 500 being like, okay, I'm ready to finally turn on the nitro. I'm ready to speed ahead and take the lead in this thing. But there's like, it's the last lap. There are many cars way in front of you at this point. Like, I could understand laying low in a 90-day game, which
I love the 90s.
You know, Kevin do, but yeah, exactly. He's to 90, but Meta is to 20, apparently. But I feel like with only a few days left and things being so rapid fire, I feel like unless he, I don't know, pulls off a bunch of comp wins, I feel like he might have the least win equity left out of the final set.
Yeah, it's hard to envision that scenario. I did feel bad for him when he thought he solved the puzzle and he buzzed in. He's like, I got it. And then
I was so confused with the puzzle because apparently Marissa said that the other side wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. They weren't the same on each side. So I don't know what they were seeing on their side. If it wasn't the same as the other side. And then some of them, I felt like they were looking at it. And from our view, it was completely off. But for, apparently from their view, like,
yeah, but when Omarosa got it, it was exactly right. So I don't know what they were looking at or what they were trying to put together
on
the other side. Because when Omarosa finally got it, it all lined up. It was clear to see that she got it. And we don't even know what Ross's puzzle looked like.
Yeah, I don't even know what Ross's puzzle looks like. So, yeah, I don't know what they were seeing or what the puzzle. I felt like it was totally unclear because I thought, OK, maybe Mark is seeing something from his side that we're not seeing, because on our side, it is totally incomplete.
Yeah.
It looks like he just stacked them up in any random order.
I did it.
This looks right. There's blocks up there.
Your boy stacked up all nine.
Yeah, I wonder if it was a thing where, like, it seemed like there were different pictures on each side of the block. So maybe it was a thing where only one combination could work, where it was the same picture on both sides. I don't want to keep referencing Survivor, but this is something that happened in Survivor Cambodia. There was like an immunity challenge, right? Where Takeo, I think, did the puzzle correctly on one side, but it was upside down on the other side and they lost because of it. I feel like the Mark McGrath got screwed in a very similar way.
Yeah. I felt bad for Shannon tonight because I felt like that if she had a chance to win this veto tonight, I feel like that she would have been able to pull that off against this field, Melissa.
Sorry, what was the question?
I call you the right name, and I'm
not even paying attention.
Yeah. I feel like that Shannon could have won this veto if she was in the mix on this.
I think it wouldn't have even been a competition, and I honestly think that James would have won it too.
Yeah.
If he was in it, I was a little disappointed to see him not in it. But then I was like, I have no idea who's going to win this, because I thought initially that it was one of those competitions where you have to. It was like the clown shoe competition. I thought maybe they had to go in a ball pit, but then they just had to carry puzzle pieces over. So I was confused at some people's strategy too, because I noticed that like Omarosa was carrying one puzzle piece at a time.
Wanted to have an asthma attack, Melissa?
Yeah, I guess too many puzzle pieces might be an asthma attack.
Yeah, I was worried she's going to have a live asthma attack on the show. It would have really thrown everything off, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been crazy if we had a medevac and then a meta decides to quit as well.
Yeah, we did have a medevac.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously the optimal strategy for this stuff is lay the puzzle on the ground, shape it out there, and then put it up, as opposed to, I mean, Oni did, and I am saying Oni, not Omi, because apparently, as we all found out, Omi means grandmother in German, which we don't want to insult Omarosa by doing that. But Oni was able to get it by just stacking them up there. But I feel like you would more so want to do it on the ground first before putting it up there, just so you get everything sorted out.
Listen, do you think that they called Omarosa Oni in the White House?
I have no idea.
Oni, get in here.
I feel like they probably did not call her that.
Now, we've talked about this. Does Oni actually know anything about her time in the White House? Mike, to me, this was when she started talking about when we had the Twitter question for Oni of what was the craziest thing that happened in the White House? She says, oh, it would have to be the 10 days that Anthony Scaramucci worked in the White House. He had some choice words for Steve Bannon. Like, that happened in a magazine interview. He was walking around the White House ranting about Steve Bannon.
Yeah, you can tell she's starting to run out of material a little bit. She's almost like, all right, crap, let me just keep pulling things. You know, these sound bites, I know they're making the airwaves. I mean, he lasted for 10 days. That's half a meta at this point. So it was really something noteworthy. But I loved that, I love Omarosa just in general, especially your impression of her, Rob. Like, I feel like we very rarely get the DR version of a low talker. We usually get someone yelling, and this time we get someone who's just so coy and smooth that it makes you want to lean in and listen to what they're saying.
I also love the way she sits in the DR, where she's always like leaned back on the chair, just like, I went, and this is my strategy. It's just so it's very people boss. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
We should all just sit like that.
It's all.
Yes.
If you don't read my book, wait for the audio book with Oni.
Just wait.
With Oni.
Yeah, it seems like she's doing a perfume commercial in the Big Brother house.
That's the name of it. Forget Frankie Grande cologne. Oni. Yeah. Okay. You know, I want to talk about James Maslow, because I feel like that he is coming into his own, a guy who really did not know anything coming into this game about Big Brother. I love that moment where he was with Marissa and he had the owl and he's making demands.
I was like, stop.
And then he starts doing a Dr. Evil voice.
Hold on. Here's James negotiating.
I've had this owl in a weird way if you don't make a decision.
Don't be weird.
I want to be so weird.
Don't be weird.
Gonna be so weird. It's like, I'm gonna pet this owl in a weird way. If you don't, it's like, please stop it. Just stop being weird. Don't be weird with that owl. Meta's gonna be so
pretty
mad.
Copy and pasted from my wedding vows. That conversation. Pretty much a transcript of what I said to my wife.
On don't be weird.
Yeah, that's what she says to me every night before we go to bed.
Mike, stop doing that. Don't be weird. I'll be so mad. No, I'm going to keep doing it.
The Cuban Missile Crisis is something that is very dangerous to our country.
All right. Let's get to some of your questions here tonight on a wild Big Brother Monday. Aubrey Marie, who needs this HOH most? Well, Oni needs it the most, Melissa, but she can't play.
Yeah, I feel like she definitely needs the most, either her or James, I think, because I think that James... I think they are still, for some reason, stuck on the idea of getting James out. And I think that they view it as an easy out. They view him as like, he doesn't really have anyone besides Mark, and who cares about Mark? So put Mark and James up. Boom, he's out. Let's get out the competition. It's an easy thing to do. So I think if the four wins, I think James is in big trouble. So I think that James should really, really go for it. Although, you know what? I'd love to see a Mark win.
Yeah. Big time rush tonight, Mike?
A big time rush to the HOH room. Yeah, unfortunately, when it comes to the HOH competition, Oni don't play that. So she looks to be in a bit of danger. I do feel bad for her. As Melissa mentioned before, I mean, she was able to, I guess maybe we thought, gain some favor with Meta. That turned out not to be possible. But it seems like now she's left with this worst case scenario of now all these people that she put up that she sort of declared war against are now going to be directly faced towards her. And once they get into power, you know that she'll be, I think it's fair to say she'll probably be one of the boots come Friday. That's my prediction.
I knew I needed to win that HOH challenge, but it was the time I couldn't play. So I had to resort to my bag of tricks. We'll see. Double eviction coming up on Friday night. So, but who knows? Mike, I've postulated all season long that Oni will not give this house or us the satisfaction of being evicted by a vote. If Oni ends up on the block this week and cannot win the veto, do you see a scenario when she could potentially have another medical incident, or do you think she plays this out no matter what?
If Omarosa, former White House employee, could do a challenge where she loses her pants in a vat of honey, I think she's A-okay with leaving due to a vote. I have been, like you, very surprised with how much she has really acclimated herself towards the goofier aspects of Big Brother. And so I feel like when it comes to the more formal aspects like the vote, I feel like she also would want to make some good TV by campaigning like hell to, you know, get the votes to flip her way. Probably a futile attempt, but I think she would also want to make the most of that exit from the house too. She really would want to soak up that exit time with Julie, which she would not get if she has another asthma attack.
We'll see. Melissa, back against the wall, Omarosa has potential to be the best Omarosa of all.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I loved seeing HOH Omarosa. So I'm back against the wall. Omarosa is probably amazing. I think that she always seems to have a trick up her sleeve. So I don't think we can really count her out just yet, even if she's on the block. And even if she's on the block come eviction night, I think that there's still a chance for her. I think that she knows how to get to people. And so I'm excited to see what happens.
To be fair, when she had her back against the wall, she won HOH, literally. So I think that we've already seen that status before.
All right, we have something on the show that we like to do from time to time. It's called the Twitter game. And so we will now start. I will pretend that we got a bunch of questions from people on Twitter, and then I will ask Mike and Melissa their answers to different questions that have potentially pretend been asked. Chris Zan has a question. Does Melissa have any draft left, or is she done?
I'm not done yet. I still have Mark.
Yes. Okay. Let's just, for anybody, okay, this is like the halfway point in terms of people left. Not really. We're down to 7 people in the house, but only 6 days left. So just to update the draft board for anybody who cares about this. So Melissa has just Mark left.
Yeah.
Melissa, don't worry. I'm going to bring it home.
I got you.
I've got this.
I got you, Goose.
Don't worry. I'm going to kick in the afterburners anytime now.
So I find it interesting that Mark called James Goose, because correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen Top Gun in a while, but isn't Goose, spoiler alert, the character that gets blown up in his plane in the middle of the movie?
Don't worry about that part.
Don't remind me of this.
Yeah. So
I only watched the volleyball scene. Yeah.
All right. So Melissa has for a Melissa win, Mark McGrath needs to pull it out. For a Rob win, Goose, James Maslow needs to pull it out. He's the only person that I have left. Brent is the big winner tonight in terms of he came in tonight with both only 2 people on his team, Ross and Brandy. And then does he have somebody else too? Ross and Brandy.
I think he only had 2. I had 3 and Taryn had 4.
Yeah, Ross and Brandy. They survived the night. So looking great for Brent. And then Taryn.
It really wasn't looking good for him. I mean, think about it. Both of his people were up on the block. Yeah. And by the end, neither of them have left.
And then Taryn still has Ari, Omarosa, and Marissa. So somehow. That all Taryn,
somehow Taryn's gonna win it again. It's rigged, I tell you, it is rigged. Yes,
but right now, all 4 people that drafted are still alive, technically. Josh Spence, somebody named Josh Spence has a question.
From Redondo Beach.
I know people want casting to weed out potential quitters from playing, but is that really possible? Do we have to get used to quitter culture in future seasons? You know, I feel like that if we had a draft of who was going to quit Celebrity Big Brother, I feel like that it was not. I think that Meta and Keisha probably would have gone in the first 5 picks in the quitter draft. Melissa, do you think that it was just a matter of it was hard to find people that would want to be on the show?
I don't know. It's a tough question because I think they were concerned with quitting because it was a short period of time. You have celebrities. You can't really have that many people quit, or else you don't really have a game left. There weren't really that many people initially. There's 16. This time there was 11 or something. And so, you know, I think they tried to prevent quitting by making them get voted out in order to get their stipend. Mm-hmm. But then, unfortunately, now we just wasted the whole eviction. Like, instead of just having them walk out the door during the week and, oh, well, we just move on, we do a new eviction. We waste an entire episode on a quitter. And that's the unfortunate thing. So, I mean, I see where they were going with this whole, you don't get your payment unless you walk out that door on a vote. But I don't think they took into account that people would ask to be voted out and then everyone would willingly vote them out just to let them go out.
Listen,
the door.
Hold on right there. That my publicist has just handed me something. We just want to remind the audience that while Keisha did ask everybody to vote her out of the house, that it is not technically a quit. She was voted out, and it is completely different than the Meta World Peace situation. Okay.
Is it though?
It's what it says here.
Is it? Well, I disagree. Okay.
All right.
I know I'm going to get hate for that, but I think it's a quit. I think they both are quitters. And they're in my draft.
For future seasons, they could do a Big Brother boot camp where I know on some shows they bring in a big group of people before the show starts and puts them through a set of challenges, and they sort of then weed out people from there on out. What if they just bring in a big crop of celebrities, put them in sequester for 2 weeks, see how they react, and then they sort of weed out those that are really attached to home life. And so they say, okay, let's really sort of get out the best of the best. Cause I can understand where people are coming from with these complaints. I don't know, from a casting perspective, it's gotta be difficult to really suss out, okay, would this person, be likely to quit? Cause you can't imagine that Meta World Peace would have said, well, I'm really with my family. To be quite honest, I probably would only make it about 20 days in the house and they would still cast him.
Well, especially because he travel all the time around the country for basketball.
Yeah, but I don't know how long he's gone for. The thing is with Meta World Peace, I get Meta World Peace. They were thirsty for Meta World Peace. The Keisha, and I said this going to, I don't understand why Keisha was a casting choice when it seemed like she didn't really want it to beginning at the beginning. And so that, to me, I didn't think that she was enough of a name to run the risk that why they were thirsty for her. Yeah. When she had a baby that was thirsty.
Yeah. I don't understand it because it's not like she's that big of a draw. And I think that she, I mean, clearly they know she has a baby. Like they know that she had a 1-year-old child going in and that's not like a surprise or something. Meta, you know, on the other hand, he could say all he wants in the initial interviews. I'm going to miss my wife. I'm very close to her. It's going to be tough being away. But everybody says that going into Big Brother. It's like, oh, it's going to be hard going away from my family. But then they all do it.
Yeah.
And they're able to.
There's a weird part.
Go ahead.
Yeah. There was a weird part in his exit interview where Julie asked him, you know, like, it seemed like you were rallying and then you decided to quit. What happened? And Meta just didn't answer the question. So I'm going to see if I can sort of bite at it, make him take a bite at it once again. But I found it very interesting that he just deliberately avoided Julie's question there of why the sudden 11 o'clock hour change from, oh, I'm not a toy, I'm gonna be the, you know, the toy comes alive, bride of Chucky going on. But then all
why
of
is she the bride of Chucky and not Chucky?
Well, I guess he was missing his bride, so I guess that's where I was sort of pulling from. But then he says, nope, I'm turning back into a toy again. You can send me out of the house.
I also liked when he just started naming his kids. I really love that part also. That was great. That was just like, just like their names and ages and like gives us an update on like what they're doing.
Julie's had some trouble with these exit interviews. It was like last time Shannon was just, she's like, is there anything further you'd like to say? She's like, well, actually, I'd like to talk more about, you know, the poaching in Africa. And it's like, oh, I meant about the game.
Yeah, no, nothing else about the game. Okay. Andrew Russ, over under on Mark quitting. I don't think that there's a chance Mark
quit.
Is going to quit.
I will not quit.
Just, other than the Melissa curse, I don't think that.
I will not let him quit.
I will not quit. I'm old, but I won't quit.
I'm the old guy. I won't quit.
Okay. Kieran says, why didn't Oni nominate Marissa? She could have taken out Marissa or Brandy, which would have been a strong move. She wasted her HOH for whatever reason, either out of the goodness of her heart, where she felt like I can't do this to Meta, or maybe for some goodwill. She decided to give Meta what he wanted.
You know, I think that she didn't, as I said earlier, I don't think she would nominated Marissa because she knew that he would then take her off the block and then you have Marissa angry with you and Ross angry with you. I just feel like it's not a good idea to make more people mad. I think when you have this strange veto power where you're going to end up putting a bunch of people up on the block, it's better to put someone up who's then going to leave and not piss off the rest of the alliance. So I feel like it was the smart move, even though it sucks. And for her, because that, he was her closest alliance. But I think that it makes sense.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have another question in our Twitter game or we'll make some up for real? Stacked wants to know, 6 freaking days left. Is it the James Maslow Dr. Evil? 6 freaking days left. Omarosa should have put up Ari strategically to make Ross choose. Ari Brandy goes, or he knows Marissa goes off. Imagine the fights. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, that's not how Meta World Peace wanted to play it. He missed his.
Well, speaking of 6 days left, should we speculate a bit about how in God's name this endgame is going to work? Because I have some ideas about how we're going to enter the finale with 5 people. And over the course of 2 hours, end up with 1 by the end of it. It sounds ridiculous on paper.
Yeah, so Julie said we are going to have, okay, this Friday night is going to be a double eviction. So join us for that show. It should be a fun 2 hours. And then she didn't mention the Saturday episode, but according to CBS.com and the schedule all the way through, Saturday night was always supposed to be a Big Brother episode. So we'll see if that is going to be either an actual episode or if we might get the recap of the recap. recap or...
I was going to say, it's going to be a recap.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a recap of 21 days.
You guys, do you remember when we first came into the house the first night?
It was so long ago. Look how different we all look.
Look how different we all look. I look completely different.
You're actually really getting very good at this Mark impression.
Like throughout the hands,
throughout the course.
If you're listening on the podcast, it's not as much.
It's like I'm choking a little doll.
Yeah, and so then we're going to get to the finale is going to have five people.
I'm not going to be able to look at my alliance. Yeah. I mean, my draft pick ever again the same way because he's choking a little doll every time he's in the dining room.
Is it Chucky? Is it Chucky the doll that he's choking? Metal World Peace is Chucky. And I'm going to choke him.
It's like the picture of Dorian Gray. He must choke a tiny doll in order to gain its youth so that he'll stay forever young.
Oh my God. Could you stop choking that doll? It is so weird.
It's so weird.
You're choking that doll right now.
Stop being weird.
Stop being like weird. Okay. Yeah. So, Mike, one thing that I have seen sent to me, this was sent to me in a direct message on Twitter. So I won't out this person, this Twitter account. But basically, the question was, do you think that we could see a hit the road competition like when Morgan beat Justin in Big Brother OTT? Is that possible?
It's interesting because I received a different DM from someone who said, is it going to be a situation, which is the other half of the BBOTT scenario, where somebody wins final head of household, picks their final two partner, and then the other three people are summarily eliminated right there?
Listen, I heard that it's going to be the person who wins the final HOH gets to pick one person that's safe, and then everybody else has to make a fire.
That's probably what it is. It makes the most sense, I think.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, it could be something really wacky like that where, you know, you're picking the person who you want to take with you and everybody else could be eliminated and that, but that, I mean, that really to the point I think, Mike, that could really put it, like, if people thought that the Survivor Final Four twist was bad, I mean, I think that's terrible.
Yeah, just wait for the final five twist in Big Brother. Yeah, this is, and I mean, I guess it's sort of not akin, but, you know, the Celebrity Big Brother seasons in the UK often enter the finale with five or six people, but it's all done by popular vote. It's also interesting as well in that the usual civilian Big Brother finales, you have that one person going immediately to the jury. Their head is still going through massive cabin fever and the rush of everything that's going on. So they're always sort of just stumbling into the jury and saying, okay, I guess I have to vote now. Now this is going to happen to three people. In the course of one night, three people could be the difference between, you know, one person winning and another person winning if they're not in the right mindset when they walk out to see Julie.
If you thought Brent was worked up after the Survivor finale, wait till you see the Big Brother finale.
Yeah. When Julie said that there was going to be five people left by that episode, I was like, this is going to be very interesting to see how this all works out, because I was wondering how they were going to get, like, pare down the people. And I just figured they were going to keep having double evictions.
Yeah.
At some point. It's weird that they waited this long to do a double. You'd think they'd try and do two, because double evictions always are a huge draw for people. They're always a big event. You'd think they'd want to have two of them.
I think that it might be maybe a budget issue where the live show probably costs a lot more money to produce than just the tape show. So they probably were figuring, okay, a Wednesday and then a Sunday why wouldn't they do an eviction Wednesday? Why wouldn't they do an eviction Saturday? So they were probably already locked in with these dates being the live shows, and I suspect that budget was the reason. But I thought that, Mike, they might have done a final three. I feel like that would have been a better way to, or a more fair way to do this than potentially having three people evicted on the finale night.
Yeah, it's also interesting in that, you know, I feel like also one of the reasons why they might have done this big Sunday thing is that I feel like, you know, maybe much against your point, Rob, about the budgetary thing, I feel like they really love these live shows. I mean, that veto competition was definitely like the most on the edge of my chair I was during a veto competition in quite some time, just because it might be one of the closest finishes we've seen, you know, in these like buzzer beater take off on a clown shoe live veto competitions. But they, you know, they get your heart pumping. They get the social media streams going. So you would imagine that they want to try to capitalize that on Sunday. But it might be the case of biting off more than you can chew. And that, again, like maybe 4-2, you could arguably try to do two sort of fast forward cycles in order to, you know, get to your final two and get through the votes and everything. But I don't know, 5-2 just sounds really unwieldy to me, no matter what method they use to eliminate people.
Well, Melissa, this is going to be the real test now, because there's a lot of people that are sort of like the Big Brother truthers out there in terms of that, oh, production is going to make what they want to happen. And you got to think, if you have a 5-person finale, that you're so close to getting Omarosa there the whole time, getting her to the finale with a chance to win. Tune in, is Omarosa going to win? What do you think are the chances that there could be some sort of shenanigans that go on this week where a secret power comes into the mix? Something, when Oni's back is most against the wall, could something break her way that is unforeseen?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past them. I think it makes a lot of sense to try and keep her around, because she is a huge draw. I mean, look at all the news stories about Big Brother that never would have happened before unless someone was being super racist or super terrible. So, you know, I think
those are stories that are often in the news.
They are often in the news. So, you know, I think that they'll try and keep her around for sure. I mean, hopefully she can stick around on her own accord and, you know, we don't have to call rigged, but I could definitely see some power popping up when she needs it most.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going back to the Twitter game. And Adam wants to know, Meta has something 30 million plus and was recruited to be on the show. What did BB expect? Should we go to celebrity net worth, Mike, and vet these people before they get cast on the show?
So wait, so he's implying that we should get people who are more desperate for money onto the show, and that might incentivize them to be on. It lies counter to the complaint that I feel like everybody has, that I want to put like the kibosh on. Let's stop whenever there's a celebrity whatever kibosh show. I think I just made up a Jewish word right there. I'll
I think you put the kibosh on stuff.
The kibosh, yeah, it's my keltoru of Jewish words. But when there's a celebrity season that comes on and people always complain like, D-list celebrities, I can't believe they didn't get anyone famous. Like, I personally have been checking out all these celebrity shows for years. I can't think of one season of one of these celebrity shows where 80% of the people on it were culturally relevant and in the mainstream. It feels like something that's been inherent to this genre since its very beginning. So it feels like we shouldn't be expecting something else. This is something that's already going to happen.
Mike, I have an idea for a show where all the celebrities come in. These are all huge net worth celebrities. They come in and then they have to basically fork over all of their net worth, and whoever wins takes it all. It's called Celebrity Tontine. It's going to be very exciting.
Hey, Sister Dino, smarten up. It's a terrible idea.
I think it's not about the money. I think it's about the desire to play. And I think that even in the initial interviews, we could all tell that Meta had no desire to play. I mean, even when, you know, he was asked in the interview, they were like, I'm so excited for you to play, to see you play. And he's like, oh, do you watch basketball? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I meant this game. I meant Big Brother. I'm excited to watch you play Big Brother, the game you're about to play. It was just like,
yeah.
You know, it didn't bode well. I think it's about desire and not about the money.
When I went to talk to Meta and I asked him about like, Meta, are you excited for this? He's like, they gave me a bunch of DVDs to watch and I put them in the garbage. I didn't want to know anything about this.
Yeah, I definitely want to ask him about that, because he seemed adamant about the fact that like, yeah, I didn't watch a lot of Big Brother and I refused to watch any Big Brother.
My wife gave me the DVDs. I put them in the garbage.
That's insulting. I'm mad.
This was great also when Julie asked him, okay, well, what would you have done if you would have won the veto tonight?
Had you won the power veto tonight, would you have saved him? Because you made a deal with Omarosa.
If I would have won the power veto tonight, I was going to be very mean and I was going to put up I was definitely gonna put up Jay's. I probably put up Ross too.
Even Ross. Wow, Melissa, this was very mean. He was gonna put Ross on the block tonight.
Yeah, wow. I don't understand. He was gonna put him on the block after he was already on the block. And after he can't really name a replacement nominee. I don't know how this was all going
to
work out.
And he was also rooting for Ross to win.
Well, and also remember that Meta was the one that when Julie explained what the Diamond Power of Veto was, Meta yelled out, can we use the Diamond Power of Veto to put ourselves on the block? Not since the Pax Brothers, Rob, have we seen such 4D chess played on Big Brother.
Are you sure, Meta? Are you sure?
I thought this past week that he was really going to step up and that he was going to actually try to play the game. And it seemed like he was starting to learn and do okay. And I didn't actually think he was going to quit. This was like a new development starting literally today, like, or I guess last night. Like in the middle of the night, he apparently tried to escape again. And then this morning he was like, I want to go home again, which is like, I really thought that was over. I thought he was over that.
He might change his mind and break back in tomorrow. I'm back.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
He just can come back whenever he wants.
He can come back. How great would that have been if he would have had the chance to use the veto mic and said, I want to put myself on the block.
But then if he decides not to get sent home as a result, like, all right, I'm trusting you guys. You better keep me on the block.
Or if he tried to use it and like put when he uses the veto, tried to name the replacement nominee and they're all like, whoa, 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 you can't do that. And so then everyone knows who he wants out and everyone knows that he is against them. And just, oh, my God, I can absolutely.
I choose to nominate Shannon as the replacement nominee.
I love Shannon. I love Shannon. But, you know, I got to put her up.
I will say that.
Who
at least this
are you rooting?
I love Shannon. I love Shannon so much.
Out of everyone who's left in the game.
I vote Chuck.
I will say that I think that the one thing we did get from Meta putting himself on the block here, Brandi Glanville giving probably one of the best eviction speeches ever. Just a very short and simple, Meta, I'm glad you want to go home. Sit, exit, stage left.
All right, let's keep going with the Twitter game. Grepstein wants to know, do you think that Ross having the ability to veto a second nomination influenced Omarosa's renom pick, or would Meta have been her renom even with a regular veto? Melissa, what do you think about that? Do you think that she was anticipating Ross going for the second veto?
I mean I think she was. Earlier she had basically said, like, I'm not gonna put you up, Meta. Like, I'm not gonna have you go home on my HOH. She basically had said that to him. And unless something changed while the feeds were down, I don't know. But as of the time the feeds cut, she wasn't gonna put him up. And I think that it did influence her, this double veto, because I think her replacement nominee was going to be Marissa.
Yeah.
And they were going to get Marissa and have Marissa go home. But then when it turned out that Ross could then veto the next one, she knew that Marissa wouldn't end up on the block. So it ended up being a waste. So I think she altered her strategy due to the veto.
Okay. Let's hear from Annie. Abbreviated season, much better. Thoughts on two short seasons in the summer. Maybe some have the chance to replay the second. I've seen people say, like, would you rather one long season or like three short seasons? I think you could do the regular season shorter and then celebrity season. But I don't think we're ever going to get, Mike, two shorter seasons back to back with like winner, like the winner moves on.
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing like half seasons. I know a lot of shows do that, but even like The Walking Dead takes a pretty sustained break in between. They're not like, okay, we finished up this half season and now coming up the second half of the season immediately. Well, the thing is,
who will win the power of veto and will they use it to take either Brandi or Ari off the block? Find out next season.
That would be terrible.
The thing about it is, I know that a lot of people are sort of talking about like, when will celebrity, if Celebrity Big Brother will come back. I hope it does in some way, shape, or form, because I think for all of our gripes about maybe this episode and the way things have shaped out between this and Keisha, I've been really loving it so far. It's been, maybe I'm seeing it through rose colored glasses because I've gotten to interview these celebrities as well, but I've really had a lot of fun getting to watch it. But I wonder, I feel like this is going to return, but big butt, like the butt
easy,
you would use to stay in a chair during an HOH competition. I feel like it's tough scheduling. I feel like one of the reasons they were able to do this sort of abbreviated season is because they said, okay, nobody's going to put on anything during the Olympics. We have the ability to have four time slots, including 2 hours on Friday, to put in all these shows. You'd have to imagine that during the regular fall to spring, TV schedule, if they would be able to find those same times.
I think you could do it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, you know, really, you have times like that during the year, but those already happen to be the times that regular Big Brother is on. So, and January used to be that time of year, but I think that there's a lot of shows that do come back for the first couple of weeks of January. So I think that you could probably figure it out. I think that the best plan really, though, is just to end regular Big Brother earlier and then use that like early September time when there's not a lot of, first run shows coming on, and then the fall TV season will start a couple of weeks after that. Then it's a good place to promote all the upcoming CBS shows.
I think that they should do a shorter regular Big Brother, and then do a little bit longer of Celebrity Big Brother or All-Star Big Brother, whatever. All-Star Big Brother, hopefully.
Ian Terry said he would be in.
See, that's the thing. I think that would actually bring people back who we normally wouldn't be able to get because these people have kids and they have lives and they have jobs. And so I think that it would actually allow us to have these big name players come back for a shortened season. I think that Celebrity Big Brother could do with a little bit more time because I feel like we're just getting into the meat of the game and now all of a sudden it's over. So I think that if they just spread, increased it by maybe one more week, or maybe just a half a week, I don't know what they're willing to give, but if they just made it a little bit longer so that we're not ending on finale night with five people, I think it could be really good to bring back.
Let me ask you one other thing about Meta World Peace. Do you feel like was there any connection between 48 hours of slop and him wanting out of the house?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because he seemed to think that slop was fine for him and he didn't really seem to have that big of a problem.
I love slop.
He eats really strangely anyway. I was watching him eat last night where he was eating. He ate like a pepper, like a full hot pepper. And then he ate a full lime with the outside, everything. He literally just cut them into little pieces and just ate them. And he's like, it's good for you. And then he ate a whole lemon, cut it up the outside, ate it. Then he peeled a grapefruit like an orange and ate it like an apple. And so his eating habits is any cloves of garlic raw. He's unappealing. he literally ate all this stuff in one fell swoop, and it was insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I don't know. I think his diet's just really weird. So I don't really think slop affected him that much, especially because it was only for such a short period of time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's it. But who knows?
All right. says who? What are the chances of Ross and Omarosa teaming up at some point this week? Mike, stranger things have happened.
I suppose so, but that would be, who knows? It might become a situation, where they say, all right, it's a little bit maybe like a June and Allison type of thing of hey, you know what? Let's just go to the end together. Sure. Everyone's going after us. We're sort of the figureheads of these two sides, even though we just talked about that Omarosa has lost a bit on her quote unquote side. Let's just join up and take everyone out. They basically, they can claim the competitions between them. It would be strange, especially again, we only have 6 days ahead of us. Maybe if there was another week, they would have more time to marinate on it. But I feel like with the game in such fast motion from here on out, they're not really going to have that much time to think. They're going to basically go with their gut instincts as to who to get rid of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Melissa bot. Okay. That Melissa that I, I know there's a lot of confusion between you and the Melissa bot.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Okay. The Melissa bot, not Melissa. Not Marissa either. Tips on how to get number one. What are the tips to get my tweets shown on the live show? Okay, I guess you cracked that nut. Number two, is it inevitable that Omarosa will be in the final two, given that she's in Taryn's team? And number three, how would Justin Timberlake do on CBB season two? Yes, JT. Who's like JT? I forget.
I don't remember.
Yes, this was from the morning update, Melissa. That you said.
I know.
That Taryn said that somebody was like, that Ari is like JT. That everybody wants to keep him around.
Oh yeah, and I confused it with Justin Timberlake. I can't explain yes. it.
Mike, should Big Brother consider, like JT, putting a Meta World Peace hologram into the house?
Oh, that would be great. Just so in case, like, if it gets a little, maybe he could come host the recap. Like, he'll come, like, what happened with Derek in Big Brother 19. The Meta World Peace hologram will lead everyone around the house and say, hey, remember when I walked out in my underwear for the announcement of the veto?
Yeah. That would be fantastic. Hologram World Peace. All right. Tender Taryn wants to know, do you think that Brandy will be pissed at Ross for not taking her down? Okay. Mike, do you feel like that is going to be in the realm of possibility?
I mean, I feel like if anything, they could sort of, since they made such a witch hunt out of Brandy's rogue vote, which, as Brent mentioned yesterday, was all for naught. When I asked Shannon about this, she was like, oh no, this doesn't help her case whatsoever. But they could say, like, hey, tit for tat, you know, easy. you disobeyed my alliance. I want to make you sweat a little bit. Plus, Brandy's been up to her own little shenanigans with this Facebook game. Not since Dominique's talk show has there been such controversy around these filler segments they do in the house.
Yeah. We got all about the Dominique talk show.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved all three seasons of it.
How did that not become canceled. A podcast?
Yeah, has she been doing anything with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I haven't seen it. This is from
she's trying to figure out how to dribble the ball back first.
Yes. Okay. That this is a screenshot. Did you guys catch the Ghost Island promo after Big Brother? Eliza's shocked that we got a new casting director for Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah, Robin Cast didn't cast the Celebrity Big Brother. I feel like that's been known, right, Melissa?
Yeah, what's interesting is they got someone with the last name Katz. So it's Cass and then Katz. Very similar. It seems a little fishy. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not. I don't know. Melissa, do we have any spoilers to discuss? Do I need to play the spoiler song to talk about anything?
Not really. I mean, everything at this point.
No fighting in the house. Everything was good.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm not watching the feeds right now, so it could be, but I haven't been updated about anything. If the chat wants to update us.
I was planning on dancing like Ari and everything from that random B-roll we got of her today where she was like up, like combination of dabbing and the car dealership flailing tube man.
Yes.
The wacky wailing inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Melissa, is the reason why Celebrity Big Brother has been so popular because they've actually brought in a person with the last name Katz to satisfy all of the feline female fans of North America?
That's the only explanation. I think that's what it is.
Unless it's just a cat. They brought in a cat to finally cast it.
Is that what they did? They brought in a cat to go and go near all the pictures that you want of all the people. That's how we got some of these people, these celebrities.
Yeah, like how an octopus predicts like the Super Bowl winner. That's what they did with a cat to determine this cast.
Okay. All right.
Blame casting. Blame the cat behind the casting. Yeah. This was a momentary dalliance into animal-based casting. It was Shannon Elizabeth's idea, and never again.
Yes, okay. So blame Shannon for that. All right. Tomorrow morning, Taryn Armstrong will be live once again at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, to talk about what goes on the live feeds. We will have a new HOH, and tomorrow night, the Big Brother LFC will be together for the final time during Celebrity Big Brother to go through everything on the live feeds and talk through it. Melissa, can you believe it? This is it. That's the bad thing about Celebrity Big Brother, that only two LFC roundtables.
That's the worst part of it.
Yeah. So that's it. maybe Meta World Peace will be joining the Celebrity Roundtable.
That'd be great. I'd love to have mom as a guest.
All right. Mike Bloom should, and you know, with these celebrities, who knows what they want to do, should have an interview with Meta World Peace up on parade.com tomorrow.
Yep. I've been covering Celebrity Big Brother so far, had a lot of fun with that. I'll keep covering it, as I said, into, I'm assuming, interviews with all the final five the day after the finale, which will be a whirlwind, as well as covering The Amazing Race and Top Chef as well for Parade, in addition to all the random array of podcasts that I get to do, including, we just did, I know Brent plugged this last night, but we did the Newly Host game, where Lita Brillman came up with this fun idea to bring together podcast co-host and have them play the Newlywed Game, and I got brought in to host that. That was a lot of fun. And also coming this weekend, Survivor season is surprisingly upon us, even though we're caught in the middle of this like CBS reality whirlwind right now. And with Survivor comes the RHAP B&B. So myself and Liana Boris will be getting together this weekend to talk about some silly shenanigans around Survivor Ghost Island, which is premiering, you know, a week and a half from now, which is even crazier on top of all this other Big Brother celebrity stuff happening.
Right. And don't forget, this Wednesday night, it is the finale of The Amazing Race 30. We're down to four teams, and we will have our finale coverage kicking off on Thursday. I will have exit interviews with all four of the teams, including, spoiler alert, Jess and Cody, who have made it to the final four. Can they bring home the Amazing Race money? We will find out Wednesday night. They will join us with asterisk, scheduled to join us Thursday morning on the Amazing Race exit interview. And we'll talk about their new engagement. Melissa, did you have any well wishes for Jody upon their engagement?
I think that's great. Good for them. I'm excited. That's very good news.
Okay. Will the LFC be covering the Jody wedding plans?
If I'm invited to the wedding, I will be there.
Yeah.
All right. I will be there with bells on.
All right. So be on the lookout for that. And then Mike Bloom, Jessica Lisa, and I will get together on Thursday evening to recap the finale of The Amazing Race 30. We've got a lot of great shows coming up in the next couple of days. We will be joined by a man who many times has tried to break out of his parents' house. I don't know if he's done it yet, but Eric Stein will be joining us this Wednesday night, finally, to talk about everything. So looking forward to that. We've got a great show coming up on Friday night as well, when we are going to be joined by Brendan and Rachel after the double eviction coming up on Friday night. And then Allie Lasher will be our guest on Saturday night, host of the Challenge wrap up, where she's currently watching Victor and Natalie play in the latest season of the Challenge. So a lot of great stuff. What are we going to hashtag Jordan Kibish?
I was like, or hashtag JFK Valley Girl. Either one of those.
Yeah, I like JFK Valley Girl. I saw that earlier.
All right.
Or Medevac.
All right. Great stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Check out the LFC Roundtable, Taryn's updates, and then I'll be back with Eric Stein coming up this Wednesday night. Take care, everybody, and be sure to check out as well Josh Wiggler's First One Out Survivor preview series. And Nicole and I will be doing our own. We'll do a Survivor preview each tribe coming up later on this week. We'll have two separate Survivor previews, one for each tribe. And then 1 week from tonight, if you thought the Mondays have been crazy the last couple of weeks, we will have Corinne Kaplan joining us for her cast assessment of the Survivor Ghost Island cast. It's all happening here in February. Rob is a podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.